Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
But right now on the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. Told you we wanted to talk to Benjamin Solak, who does a great job covering the NFL. He is a smart fella and does a nice job for The Ringer. We've had him on for some other outlets over the years and always like his insight and the way he views the game. Ben, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much, man. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on, fellas.
Yeah, great to have you back on the show. I figured let's just work our way through first these games this weekend in chronological order. So let's start with Bengals-Raiders, the 4:30 game tomorrow. We get that Cincinnati's favored, and they should be. It seems like nobody's giving the Raiders a chance. Why is that?
Well, nobody thought the Raiders were going to be here. That's a good start, right? It took the Raiders winning their last four games, I believe it was, and not all of them were pretty wins. Unable to get to this spot against a Bengals team that ended the year really hot. And when you say ended the year really hot, what are you talking about? You're talking about that Chiefs game. Everybody watched it. Everybody saw the ending. And so it's just an arrow pointing up versus arrow pointing down situation. But the reality is that these two teams played in Week 11, and the scoreboard looks like the Bengals boat raced them. They didn't. It was a three-point game in the fourth quarter, had some garbage time scores, kind of, you know, an explosive end to what was rather a sleepy game. And that's because the Raiders' defensive line can really make this Bengals offense get stuck in the mud. Their ability to generate pressure with four against a really bad pass-protecting offensive line and force that ball out of Burrow's hands quickly leads to a lack of explosiveness. That's how the Bengals want to be. They want to be able to chuck it down the field, let Burrow create in that pocket, and the Raiders can neutralize that decently well. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is close. I wouldn't be surprised if it's low scoring. Derek Carr tends to struggle in cold weather games. I wouldn't be surprised if it's ugly, you know, one score, who has the ball last sort of a situation.
All right, let's go to the Saturday night division matchup. We've done this twice already. Now it's in Buffalo here, where New England played the weirdest game I've seen in the, within the last 20 years or so, Ben, that win game where they threw it three times. Can New England's offense do enough? And for Buffalo, I don't know how to explain it. It just doesn't look right here of late. It's just been Josh Allen's superhero, it feels like, down the stretch. How do you see it?
Yeah, I agree in the sense that it's been Josh Allen's superhero, and that doesn't look right, but it might also be just the best thing the Bills have got. You know what I mean? Like they're trying to generate this under shotgun running game with Devin Singletary. They don't really have that. Stephon Diggs has been good, but not elite, not top five, you know, kind of as they had him last year. So this has kind of just become the Josh Allen show, and honestly, I'm okay with that. As far as guys who I'd be willing to ride and hope that I get a good game from them, a peak game, well, Josh Allen's peak games go up against pretty much anybody. So I don't fault the Bills for kind of ending up here over the course of their, like, offensive discovery this season. I think even if you're not getting a perfect Josh Allen game, such that you get a good Josh Allen game, it's going to be enough to beat the Patriots. And it's like you said, offensively right now for New England, there was that middle stretch of the season where they were just, like, firing on all cylinders. It was all spread out. Mac was super accurate, just dicing up teams. But eventually defenses got to figuring out, listen, they have to be able to run the ball. They have to rely on their screen game. If we just get up and press these guys, it's a rookie quarterback throwing to Kendrick Bourne and Jacoby Myers. It can work, but it's really not the scariest thing that we're going to see, especially come playoff time. And so I don't think you're going to get one of those middle of the season, week 8, week 9 Mac games that we saw, especially in the cold weather. So I do think that if New England wants to win this, it's got to be low scoring. It's got to be run the football. It's got to be make this thing ugly. I just don't know if you can do that for four quarters against Josh Allen. Maybe you catch a bad Josh Allen game, but in general, he's so physical, he's so explosive, he's so dynamic. I think it's just an onslaught situation where there's too much for the Patriots to handle over 60 minutes.
Yeah, Allen had what we like to call on this show a Hall & Oates double guns game. 300 yards, three touchdowns, mm-hmm. No turnovers the last time these two teams played. Let's move to the Sunday slate, and we'll start with the Eagles and the Bucs. I think you cut your teeth originally following Philly. If it is windy and rainy, like they're saying in Tampa, that weather clearly bodes well for the Eagles. But would that even be enough? I think their whole season's built on a house of cards. They remind me of our Washington team from last year, where they beat a bunch of bad teams and some backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, listen, the Eagles haven't beaten a team with a winning record. So if you're betting on them to beat a team with a winning record in the playoffs, it's a bit of a long shot there. The weather certainly helps. Right, you know, make it cold, make it rainy. Nobody really wants to be out there. Well, then, all right, the running game tends to apply. But this is Tom Brady we're talking about. This is two decades of football, and a lot of those were in Foxborough, where the weather's usually bad this time of year. The receivers are banged up there in Tampa Bay. I'm telling you, when it comes to Brady, it just doesn't matter as much as you think it does. Bad weather, new receivers, it's not going to have the impact that we expected to, or that it would on any other human quarterback. This guy's been in a different class for long enough that we can believe that to be true. And so this Eagles defense, very zone heavy. It's, you know, makes you be surgical. It makes you beat them with short throws and quick throws. And that's just exactly how Tom Brady has done it for so long. Leonard Fournette coming back means that he's going to be catching passes outside of the backfield. It is not a good matchup for the Eagles defense. So this is the game where, even if there is cold weather, rainy weather, I expect points. This is the game where the Eagles' offense would have to be perfect on their side of the ball. Long drives, end drives with 7 instead of 3, pick up third downs, pick up fourth downs, in order to, in my opinion, keep pace with this Buccaneers team. So similar to Patriots, Bills, yeah, there's an avenue, but I just think the onslaught over 60 minutes of trying to hold up against this Bucs passing game up against Tom Brady, just going to be too much.
Let's go San Fran, Dallas here. I love what, you know, the San Francisco's. I feel like they're so tough to play against, especially on offense. They just challenge your discipline, make you, you know, you have to cover the entire field. Everything's a jet action, a sweep, a reverse, the stretch zone. Trent Williams out in space hunting, and Debo Samuel getting the ball 90 different ways. And then Dallas's offense. They got weapons galore. How do they make everybody happy? How do you see this one going?
Yeah, this is a really, really fun one. The Niners are getting hammered right now as a dog, as an underdog money line, whatever you want. There's a lot of action on the Niners, and it makes sense. The issue with San Francisco all season, and honestly across the last 5 years of Jimmy Garoppolo's tenure, has been health. When they get healthy Jimmy, they get healthy weapons, right? Healthy Debo, healthy Kittle, and they're good enough on defense, healthy enough on defense. This is a playoff team. It is more than a playoff team. It is a could have won the division team. It's a could go far in the playoff team. And that's the team that Dallas is facing this week. It looks like a wild card team, sure. Jimmy throws picks, absolutely. But we have seen this model for San Francisco, this style of offense, this aggressive defensive line, carry them all the way to a Super Bowl. We saw it 3 years ago. So we can't forget that. This is, to me, a true heavyweight versus heavyweight fight. And it's like you said, there's a wide variety of weapons that are going to get distributed here. The difference is the Cowboys try to play a lot of run and chase man coverage. Dan Quinn, cover one. Well, run and chase is really hard against this Niners team because they're all about crossing routes. They're all about yards after the catch. You miss one tackle, it's gangbusters. Meanwhile, that Niners defense plays a lot of zone, and they stay with eyes on the quarterback, and they'll rally up and they'll tackle, and they're real physical. Chiquise Guitart, Jimmy Ward, these are some hitters at safety. And so they are, I think, better suited to, okay, CeeDee Lamb's going to get his, and Amari Cooper's going to get his, but we can slow you down, make you get 3 instead of 7, whereas I think the Niners might rip off one too many explosives. So Jimmy throws a lot of picks, everything's out the window, but if you get decently safe Jimmy, I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners pull off the upset here.
You can follow Benjamin Solak, our guest, on Twitter. It's just at his name, Benjamin Solak, a staff writer with The Ringer. Chiefs Steelers. Any chance for Pittsburgh to make this a game in the final minutes?
Sure. I would tell you it's more likely they make it a game in the final minutes of like the first half, right? I wouldn't be surprised if we get, you know, deep, like they'll come out a little bit hot and they're going to have some trick plays, you know what I mean? They're going to have your one-off gadget stuff you kept for the playoffs, and they'll come out with some juice, and they'll be playing free. You know, Juju Smith-Schuster potentially back is a nice boost. With that said, the Chiefs tend to be really good on the script as well, so maybe that's just a lot of points in general in the first quarter, and it looks like the Steelers can hang. It's a matter of what we've always said about the Chiefs, and we haven't said it that much this season just because it's been a weird year for them. But remember how we used to talk about them in the playoffs 2019 and 2020? There's no lead that feels safe against this team. That's where I am for this game is, even if the Steelers hop out and they get an early score and they're able to keep pace, you're not going to see panic on the Kansas City sideline. They saw this team recently and they know exactly what they can do to them defensively. Steelers just don't have the horses. Even with a healthy TJ Watt, The roster is too thin, offensively and defensively. So I think the Steelers will put out a decent showing. Ben's last game in a Steeler uniform. I think they'll take theirs and it'll be respectable. But scoreboard wise, at the end, I don't think we get this thing close.
All right, let's do our Monday night playoff game here. I just like saying that. Rams great on the the Cardinals great on the road. Rams, you know, don't have a home field advantage. This is a crazy matchup here for me. I've gone back and forth as to who I think is going to win it, but just where you are right now.
Yeah, I'm calling this one the chaos game, right? These are the two least trustworthy teams to me in the playoffs in terms of on a weekly basis, do I know what I'm getting out of them, yes or no, right? And because of that, very nice they're playing each other. I only got to worry about one of them moving forward. But it's very hard to prognosticate. This comes down to who's making more knucklehead mistakes, Matt Stafford or Cliff Kingsbury, Sean McVay or Kyler Murray. You know, which defense is going to give up that dumb explosive on a third and long? Both defenses have been wanting to do it. I know J.J. Watt's potentially coming back. I can't imagine he's at full strength. And if he isn't, this Cardinals run defense has been really susceptible with him out. And so if I'm leaning anywhere, I'm leaning Rams just because I trust, you know, Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr. against heavy man coverage. I trust Sonny Michel and the Sean McVay running game against the suspect run defense. But that trust is very short. I don't have a lot of trust of anything in this game. And so this is going to be a fun one to watch. It's going to be an enjoyable game, but really, really tough one to figure out. Going to be a chaos game. Wouldn't be surprised if this one ends on the coin flip of an interception, a pick six, a fumble, whatever you want late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, actually, I'm with you. I think that's probably the hardest game on the whole weekend to forecast. Let's sneak one in on quarterbacks here in Washington. Talking about the playoffs is fun, but it's not what we get to do here this year. They're going to be in the quarterback market after spending the season determining once and for all what a lot of us assumed to begin with, which was that Taylor Heinicke is a backup. Curious, let's go lightning round here, just quarterback rapid fire. Do you think Rodgers is even available or does he stay in Green Bay?
I think he ends up available, but I think in that he is, you know, kind of picking his retirement home here, I'd be very surprised if he picked Washington just because of the situation with the ownership and the quality of the stadium and all that, so on and so forth.
Yeah, there's no chance he's coming here. It would just mean that it's one team that would maybe get him, and then it frees up another quarterback is the reason I even ask. Russell
exactly.
Wilson.
Don't think he becomes available. Think that they finished the season well enough. Think that Seattle believes in their nucleus. They took him to multiple championships. I think Russ likes making noise because it helps him get what he wants in the offseason in terms of influencing the offensive coordinator hire, you know, the trade for Gabe Jackson. But in general, I think that's mostly smoke, no fire.
All right, and then I don't know if any of these or all three of these guys would be available, but I just want you to rank the next tier down of trade quarterback candidates potentially of Carson Wentz, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Derek Carr. If you needed to find a QB for the next three or four seasons, how would you rank those three guys?
Derek Carr is number one comfortably. That contract, too, if you can trade for it, $19 million next year, that's really nice. That's very cheap for a quarterback of Carr's caliber. So, firstly, it comes in under the cap nicely. So I like getting Derek Carr. He's only 31, so you expect to still have good quality play for the next few years. Garoppolo Wentz is a nightmare in terms of figuring out what it is you want. It's kind of a question of what offense are you running. You need to run that Shanahan offense in order for Jimmy to work. You need to run probably what's more similar to a Scott Turner offense in terms of the shots downfield and the vertical route concepts in order for Wentz to work. And in both cases, them working is an operative term, right? Because it can look good in week 12 against, you know, some divisional opponent in a, you know, an important game, but then all of a sudden you get to week 17, week 18. And, you know, Jimmy tried to lose that Rams game a couple times and Wentz successfully lost that Jags game a couple times. So I think I probably prefer Wentz to Jimmy just because of the physical tools. Obviously both have the injury history and both are really inconsistent. So not necessarily where you want to make your bet.
Benjamin, awesome with us as always, buddy. Enjoy the wildcard weekend, man.
Of course, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Y'all be well.
You too.
Be well, man. Benjamin Solak, The Ringer, joining us on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.